Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by Cody Thompson. How are you doing, Cody?
Swell. I'm swell.
Cody is swell today. Tracy, how are you?
I'm great today.
We got the regulars on. We got Matt on the keyboard. We got Karen with me here, keeping me on track. Cody, what's our topic today?
I love that Matt's on the keyboard. Matt, if ever you just want to hit a few notes on that keyboard, let's do it. I will tell you the topic, but first I just want to make one more announcement, because next week, by the time you listen to this, you'll have 1 week to register for the Five Dysfunctions of a Team event that we're doing. So it's June 22nd. You can sign up with your team. It's a 90-minute session, so you could plan on blocking out like, hey, let's do team development together. Let's watch Pat talk about the last 20 years of teamwork and where we're at in the new world. Are we experiencing a teamwork drought? All of those things. And then we have a little discussion guide that you get along with that, along with the new foreword to the 20-year anniversary of that book that came out 20 years ago. So go to tablegroup.com/5D to register for that. It's $25. We'd love to see you guys there. That is the only promotion we will do on the podcast here. But the topic, Pat, is dignity is tricky.
Yeah, dignity is tricky. What does that mean? Sounds kind of odd, right? Well, I think most people that listen to this know that at the heart of everything we do at the Table Group lies the principle of human dignity. And we've recently become more forthright about that. And that's the idea that, you know, all people are created in the image and likeness of God and deserve to be treated as important and worthy of respect. Okay, so what does that have to do with work and organizational health? And today's podcast is going to be a little liberal artsy, but there's going to be some very specific things we can do as well. So we believe that in order to give people dignity at work, organizations need to incorporate two distinct approaches or characteristics, which were hard for us to find the words to. Too often, though, companies focus on one of these ideas at the expense of the other, and you really need both. So we're going to talk about those two concepts now, and they are, on the one hand, performance, which is what people do, and on the other hand, humanity, which is who they are. And I know in just my career in the last 30-something years, it's really shifted. When I got out of college, it was all performance. There was not even a pretend like, We're gonna use you, and you're gonna do a lot, and that's how you're gonna feel good about your job. And I think we've swung the other direction. It's like, we're gonna try to be nice and respect you and give you compassion, and performance might be a little bit behind. But you need both of these in order to feel dignity, and that's what we want to talk about today.
I often wish when we're doing this podcast, Pat, that somehow we could have a whiteboard that people could see as we're talking about this. Because I love when you draw this, it's two overlapping circles where on one side you have the performance, on the other side you have the humanity. And in the middle, where they overlap, is really where dignity lies. And you're totally right. I think we, as companies or as managers, as people even, tend to fall into, or the pendulum swings too far on one side or the other. And it's really worth having the conversation about, like, how do you peg the middle of that?
Right. You know, that's the Venn diagram, the overlap. Then we were talking about this yesterday, that maybe it's a 2x2 matrix, which is my favorite thing in the world, you know, which is basically just four squares up there. And that on one axis is humanity, which is how well do we treat people and honor them as a human being? And on the other axis is performance, how much do we get out of them? And so the lower left of that would be they don't feel like they're respected or there's any compassion for their humanity, and they don't get anything done. Mm-hmm. Well, that's no good. It's the other two that are really interesting. Obviously, the upper right is where they have both compassion or humanity and performance. And that's what we want to talk about. But the other two are really interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Like when I first got out of school, I worked at a job where they didn't know anything about us, really care about us, and demonstrate any level of compassion. And it was just basically, you are as good as what you're doing at any given moment, and you're going to work here as long as you crank. And mm-hmm. when we're done with you and you're burnt out, we'll hire some more people, and they will then pick that up. So that was the performance quadrant.
Yeah.
And then we were really having a hard time figuring out, what is it like in an organization when they treat you really well with compassion and They really honor your humanity, but they expect nothing of you.
Right. As you're talking about that, Pat, we hadn't talked about this analogy, and this might not sit well with everyone, but it's sort of like this. I grew up where when you played sports, there was a score at the end and one team lost and another team won. And now youth sports, there are many, it feels like the pendulum has swung similarly as the business pendulum, where you get a participation trophy and it's all about everybody needs an at bat and all of those things. And really, I think what we're saying is part of the dignity piece, you have to have both. Like the actual output, it feels good. It feels dignifying to actually perform well. And the goal of business is to win and to be successful and not win at all costs. It's win by inspiring people and motivating them and giving them opportunities to use their time and talents. And so there is that real tension where, and I think that so many companies sort of without this visual, without this conversation, kind of meander between one or the other. Like, should we be more about the numbers or should we be like really accommodating? And the answer is you got to do both and you got to walk a really fine line.
Right. You know, what's interesting. I actually think, Cody, that analogy of the sports is a good one because it's not win at all costs, but it's good to try to win and to do your best.
Right.
But you also have to be treated well in the process. And I'd rather have a team that plays a competitive game, loses, but they really played hard and they really work together as a team, than a team that's a bunch of selfish people and they win, but they don't really respect each other and they don't feel like they were treated well.
Yeah.
And so the question is, where do you err on which side? And I think today in society, though, I think that we're probably more on the side of the humanity, and we think that that is dignity. And yet organizations that have humanity but no expectations about performance quickly slide down to the lower left. And I don't think people get dignity from that at all. In fact, I think that usually politics and complacency and mediocrity is what results. And then we leave people without anything.
Right.
An example I like to use, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, is, you know, the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles. I mean, when I go into the DMV, I really feel bad for everyone, for the people that work there, for the people that go there. And I don't think that those people are experiencing humanity or performance.
Right.
And I think sometimes we think, well, if we don't expect anything of people, we pay them a salary, they know they're not going to get fired, and they just do their job and they go home. That is not dignity. And I think sometimes I think churches can be this way too, that churches often don't let people go. And they think it's a jobs program. And so somebody who's not very good at their job stays there for years. And they think that's honoring their humanity. But in fact, there's not much dignity in that. So I think erring on either end of the scale is a bad thing.
Right. Well, and I think that's the tricky part of this. I love the title, Dignity is Tricky. The tricky part of this is there are probably business owners and leaders who are sitting here going like, well, yeah, but if you didn't focus on the performance side, those companies would go away. The truth is they don't always go away. They sometimes just slide into mediocrity and they exist and they frustrate their customers a little bit and people go home not quite as inspired as at other companies. But there, I think the point is that sweet spot in the middle of those concentric circles, those overlapping circles, is really where people like get out of bed excited to go to work because they're not only going to be treated with the right level of humanity and compassion, but they're going to be pushed and motivated to get better. I feel like work should represent some level of growth for people, that they're not just there to kind of be stagnant. And I feel like maybe that's a little bit more on the humanity side, is like, well, if you don't grow or you do grow, that's fine. But that middle, I'm on board with the 2x2 matrix, because that up and to the right thing feels a little bit more like, hey, this is the direction you want to go. Like, this is what will make your business succeed. This is what will make people attracted to want to work at your company, the people that want to grow and perform, and not just, you know, sit at a company that's fine with mediocrity.
So I love this conversation. I think it's super practical. I do want to give our listeners some tips on finding that sweet spot. How do you get into that upper right-hand corner, rather?
I think that the first thing we have to do is realize that we cannot give someone dignity. We can put them in a position to have it. This is the insight to me. And sometimes as a leader, I have kind of an idealistic nature to me. And so I want to do that for people, and you can't. You have to treat somebody well and put them in a position to where they add their piece to that, which is their performance. And so sometimes I think, well, if I'm just forgiving, if they don't do a good job, and I give them good feedback, even if they're not doing that good, I will build them up. Well, no one ever got dignity from that. It's that, you know, how many times do we keep that little trophy that we got for participation or the certificate? You know, it's like, nobody cares about that. And so we have to realize that we have to do our part as a manager or an employer to treat somebody well and give them the context so they can choose to perform. And dignity comes from their realization that it wasn't somebody who just gave it to them, but they earned it as well. Mm-hmm. And so I would actually say to managers, sit down and look at your culture and say, where in that 2x2 matrix are you? Are you in the upper right? And where do you tend to slide? Do you slide on performance or do you just slide on humanity? And then look at each individual employee maybe too and say, does that gal or that guy feel dignified at work? And am I enabling them not to have dignity because I'm being too forgiving around performance? So it kind of depends on who we are.
I like that advice. I think if every leader on here just sat down and said, hey, if I'm most prone to falling to one side or the other, which am I most prone to naturally? There's a lot of people out there like, yeah, I love results. And I'll push our people and just knowing that and being aware of that and going like, yeah, there is that other side of the circle, that other part of the 2x2 matrix that I need to pay a little more attention to. That in and of itself would probably just a micro corrections would get you more in that upper right hand quadrant, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of just sitting down and assessing. You kind of have to know the baseline and what you're naturally inclined to do before you can start making any adjustments to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about, I just read this the other day. In fact, Bill Belichick is the coach of the New England Patriots. And even if you don't follow football, you may have heard of him. He was Tom Brady's coach for years. And they always do very well. I mean, he's a great coach. He's not a very happy guy. He doesn't show very much of that. And even players who play for him, they don't leave there with a great deal of sense of relationship. He's a very much all performance. And I think if you were to ask him, he would say, hey, listen, we win, don't we? They must feel good about themselves because they're winning. But even, you know, you look back on your career or even while you're there, there's people that say it's not very much fun. And then there's other coaches, they don't last as long, but some of them have. The people are like, man, that guy is so much fun to be around. I just love being with that guy. We never win though.
Right.
And games kind of stink and we get terrible press and our fans aren't happy. And so it's easy to kind of look at both of these and say, neither, or, you know, we've talked about in the classroom, I think everybody has a universal experience of teachers, that really nice teacher that really encouraged you, but never really taught you anything or gave you any difficult feedback. And then there's that teacher who you learned a lot from, but man, you were glad when it was over and you never want to talk to him again. So there's got to be that combination. And if you're overly performance oriented, all you have to do is a little bit and it really makes a difference. I read the other day that Bill Belichick canceled one of his practices because his players were overworked and in their off season. And I don't think I've ever heard of him doing that in his career. So that probably went a long way.
Yeah, just a little bit of self-awareness, a little micro tweak, and you start to see momentum in that other direction. But you're totally right, Pat, that concept of just being aware and knowing which side that you fall on, you can do small things. And if you're falling on the other side of the equation, the humanity side, where I'm like, you're a little more inclined to be accommodating of however people are showing up and less performance oriented, setting a sales target, a goal, here's where we're headed as an organization, is a small thing that could pay huge dividends, you know, that it'll move a little bit more into that upper right quadrant.
Yeah. You know what I was just thinking about? What I would do if I were a leader, and I am, but we're having this conversation, so everybody at the company already knows it. I would actually sit down with my people and I would say, hey, I learned this thing the other day that there's two things that people need to feel dignified in work. And I want you to feel dignified. but it's really kind of up to both of us. I want you to feel like I care about you as a human being. I really do. And I also want you to perform and feel good about what you're contributing. Which of these, if I fell on one side or the other too much, which would it be? Mm-hmm. And if they actually participated in that conversation, it would be very much easier for a manager to go, okay, so how I want to now increase my expectations about your performance for your benefit. And, or, you know, I'd like to take a little bit more time to, you know, lean into your humanity and get to know you. It would be a lot easier if they actually understood the paradigm than if you just started doing it out of nowhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's a bad way to look at it. And somebody might go, yeah, I have not felt good about myself because I haven't been performing and you've never really held me accountable to that and I'm ready.
Yeah, I would love to see a group of employees, a team responding to that and be like, because I can imagine a company or a team that's been sort of a little bit in a malaise of mediocrity hearing the leader say, hey, I think we're going to focus a little bit more. I think we'd all feel better. We'd get better sleep at night. We'd feel better about ourselves if we actually upped the ante on how we're going to perform at work. Because there is something, I mean, I remember, this is slightly embarrassing, but to go back to the sports analogy, I was went to a small private school where we weren't the best basketball team by a long shot. We lost 22 consecutive games. And every time our coach would say, you know, he would tell us how hard we were working, but to say, hey, actually, if you want to win, you have to outperform these other teams. Like, you have to get better. And I'm really glad that you're hustling and you guys are coming together as a team. But the first game that we won was such a great feeling because you had worked hard to actually change the performance metric, the results and the outcome, instead of just every time we lost, getting a speech about how great we are as human as young high school students. You know, that was not that enjoyable.
Yeah. So I guess what we're saying is it matters to people that they see the outcome of their own efforts,
mm-hmm.
which is why I think that ironically, some people in sales have higher dignity because there's no hiding the fact that when they don't perform, you can't come along and go, that's okay. And they're like, no, I want to make my number,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think I will say, I think for years I thought, well, if I let people off the hook, and I demonstrate grace and forgiveness and understanding, you know, they're really going to be happy with me. And it doesn't really work that way.
You know, the other thing that's occurring to me as we're having this conversation, Pat, because we talk about the four, in fact, you and I were on a call today where we talked about the four disciplines of a healthy organization. And yep. In the second discipline that we talk about creating clarity around how do we behave, who belongs here? The organizations that do dignity the best, that really toe the line between those two polar opposites, the part of that equation is actually understanding what type of culture your company is and who belongs there. They're not just people with numbers that don't have. So there's a part of like saying you belong here. We have shared values around this. That's right in that middle stage of understanding their humanity and their performance and saying, you're on our bus. And then now how do we get this bus to move? If you're sitting here listening to this and thinking, well, I don't really know how to do toe that line that well, I think reinforcing it with the six critical questions would be huge because it's another way of identifying who that person is and helping them add value to the organization.
Yeah, you said something really important. I hadn't thought of this, but when we talk about performance, it's not always a metric. It's not always a measure. It's actually your behavior and your actions and your attitude. It's what you do. And a big part of performance is, this is our culture. These are our values. Are you acting in concert with those? Mm-hmm. Because so often a person's contribution can't be easily measured, but in terms of numerical ways, but you know that they're working hard, they're contributing to the team, and the team is winning. So if you're looking for a statistic that proves performance, that's very, very often going to be a fruitless exercise. The question is, do you contribute? Do you help? Do you work hard? Whatever those values are, and are you making a difference? even if you can't precisely measure that, that's not the point of this. So we use sports as an example because there's a score and there's statistics. Mm-hmm. But in the workplace, there's often, it's far harder to measure. So I don't want people to think performance is just a score or a statistic. It's really, are you behaving and acting in a way that's making a difference?
Yeah, I think that's huge. If that was a part of how we were measuring performance, and I think back to that same conversation with our coach over those 20 games, eventually he was like, you guys are hustling, you're going to practice, you're behaving the right way. Eventually the results will change, you know, and reinforcing the behaviors that will lead to changing those results. And eventually that happened.
Yep. That's true. You know what I think about? I want to share some insider information with people listening to the podcast. So we try to think about, you know, we try to be kind to each other and we enjoy doing these podcasts, but we also want to perform and make sure they're good. One of the ways we have to do that is something really unpleasant, and that is we have to listen to our own podcast sometimes. It is one of my least favorite parts of my job. And sometimes my wife will be in the car and I'll turn one on and I'll just like turn it off and I'll go, oh, I can't do this. And so I just want everybody out there to know we try to make these pleasant for you and helpful. And we actually have to do some really unpleasant things to make that happen. So we hope you enjoy listening to it more than we do, because it's really hard to listen to your own voice.
And with that, Pat, I'll actually say we love hearing stories from people out there that listen to the podcast or even feedback. We've had people email in and say, hey, here's a topic that I'd love to hear you guys talk about. So you can do that. We don't make this as public as we should, but the email address for the podcast is simply podcast@tablegroup.com. So feel free to email us, tell us stories, give us feedback. We're always looking to try to make these better for you. And we really appreciate you guys listening.
Now that's the best way to know it's working, not to have to listen to it, but actually to get feedback from people. In fact, we're going to, if you send us 20, we'll stop listening to our own podcast. Save us from this hell. So we love it when podcast@tablegroup.com. Okay. That's enough today. I hope this has been beneficial. Let's try to help the people that work for us and with us to have dignity in their work. And that requires both humanity and performance. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. God bless.